You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
It's the 2024 offseason, and we are here to talk Dolphins football. We'll be with you every week all through it, up until the start of the regular season. We'll be discussing free agency, we'll be discussing the draft, and we'll have a good time. Hopefully you'll join us as we proceed through the offseason. And we've got a show today, so here we go. And it's another FinFans podcast. This evening, I've got Matt Mariani.
Hello, FinFans. How's it going?
Pretty good. And Chris Rigoni.
Hello, hello, hello.
Well, you guys sound chipper tonight.
We're another week closer to the draft. That's the next step, you know.
And then what's it, 4 or 5 weeks away?
Yep, about a month away. We actually have a first round pick as of right now. So, you know, we definitely got something. Yeah.
So, Matt, have you done your research?
A little bit. I'm getting into the preliminary stages of it. Yeah, I'm starting to pay attention to some pro days. I'm starting to I'm looking at, you know, our positions of need, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm starting to get
into about that. What do you have as our positions of need and order of priority?
We need beef on both sides of the ball. We need big guys. Interior offensive line and defensive line. Across the board, defensive line. If I had to rank our biggest needs personally, I'd say the biggest hole in the team is probably defensive tackle.
I would agree with that.
Absolutely.
Then I would love, I don't know if maybe we can get a defensive tackle in the second round. It seems like the draft is lining up nicely to get an interior offensive lineman with that first pick that might be able to hopefully move to tackle when Armstead's ready to go.
Yeah, I've seen some of the mocks, you know, that the bigger organizations are putting out, and I see one of them has us taking a tight end, one of them has us taking a defensive lineman. So it's kind of interesting when you look around and see what the other people say. But tight end would not be high on my priority list.
And then don't be shocked if our first round pick gets used on an edge rusher. Yeah. You need them, and ours are banged up, and they go high. They're hard to find.
What about wide receiver?
Not as big of a need, but yeah, we do need a third one. I wouldn't look to use a first round pick on a wide receiver because obviously that's a strength of the team right now. But yeah, it's something they should look at in the later rounds. I think, what do we have this year? A first, a second,
and then we don't. First, a second, a fifth, sixth, and a seventh.
We don't go again until the fifth. So I don't know. Are we going to find a player better than Azukanma? Are we going to find a player better than River Craycraft in the fifth round?
Well, we kind of know what Craycraft is. I'm not sure we know what Azukanma is.
He made some nice plays before he got hurt last year.
Yeah, well, most of them were running the ball.
Yeah. What do you think, Chris?
I totally agree with you. Beef is the way to go. I mean, whether they go defensive line first or offensive line first, just depending on what falls to us. It's interesting, though, because a lot of these top prospects that are offensive linemen are tackles, and then there's a couple centers in there and like the top 30 guys that they have.
Well, as far as we can certainly use a tackle, Chris, because our left tackle is not going to go on much longer.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, there's definitely going to be a lot of tackles that are going to be first round worthy. So, I mean, depending on what falls to us, I think that would definitely be a smart move.
Yep.
All I got two names for you. Oh, all right.
No, I was just going to throw it to you, Matt. Go ahead.
Okay. I got two names for you that I'm really keeping an eye on, a defensive tackle that we're going to take a look at. It's a good draft for defensive tackles and interior offensive linemen, but just defensive tackles. McDaniel and Greer were at the Texas Pro Day not too long ago,
right.
And I'm sure they were taking a look at Byron Murphy. He's PFF ranked number 9 in the draft class this year, but these interior defensive linemen do fall to the 20s because the premier positions get taken first.
They're all going to be taking quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks, edge rushers, wide receivers, those are the guys that go in the top 20s, and you can get real good value in the 20s. In positions that we're looking at. So we're looking at Byron Murphy. And I'm also looking at Braden Fisk from Florida State. The dude had an incredible combine for a guy his size, 6'5", 297. I think he ran a sub-5.40 and killed it on the bench press. He could be somebody we look at in the second round.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, too, is people have been talking about us potentially going wide receiver in the first round. And at first I was like, hell no. But like you were speaking of the Texas Pro Day, and another guy that McDaniel had a big smile on his face to meet was Xavier Worthy, who I think he set the 40-yard dash record. And you know he loves his speed, guys. I mean, I don't know if he's first round material. Maybe, you know, he slides to us in the second round, but I don't know. I mean, with how much of a wild card Greer is with certain things, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a wide receiver goes off in the first or second round, even though, you know, I would definitely rather them go interior line and then defensive line as well. But
so
it's going to be interesting.
I think we know two things about Chris Greer's draft history is that he sticks to his board and he values the positions, wide receiver, edge, cornerback. Those are the positions he generally values and takes high. So he has a clear philosophy in the draft. Whether it's been successful or not is a whole different story, but he has obviously a philosophy that he sticks to. Now, this is going to be the first time we've had a first round pick in a while with a team that's won 10 games multiple times. So to see if he drafts for need instead of drafting towards this philosophy will be interesting to see this year.
Yeah, I just hope he goes with just the best player available. I mean, my guy that I really want, I've been saying it for the last couple months, is Jackson Powers Johnson. And even though we just signed that gentleman to a 3-year contract, the guy we picked up, I mean, we can kick him out to guard and have a legit center. You know, I mean, the kid grew up a Dolphin fan, too, and he said it'd be an honor to play for the Dolphins. So I just think that'd be a really cool story.
It would be cool, but I doubt it happens.
Why do you think he's not going to fall to us, or you just don't think that they'd go to that position?
I don't think they'd go that route with the center that they just signed. It doesn't make a lot of sense unless they're comfortable with him at guard. But they say his best position is at center.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just depends on how they feel. But assuming they feel like everybody's saying, I don't think they would do that.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that there's no chance Brewer can play guard. He's a 100% center. He's far too small.
Okay.
Yeah, he's far too small to play guard. He gets bullied in the pass game.
Man,
His strength is a run blocker as center.
Yeah, well, let's hope that works out for us then.
It sounds a little ominous, right?
Yeah.
Especially, you know, with Tua quarterback who is not that mobile, you really don't want somebody coming right at him because he's a dead duck.
Yeah, that's the worst place to get pressure on for with a smaller quarterback, too, is right up the middle, you know.
Yep. So how else do you think, if they do go ahead and take that beef in the first round, whether it be defensive tackle or guard or offensive tackle, What do you think they do with the 55th pick?
More beef on the other side of the ball, because both sides need it. Both sides need it.
I agree with that 1,000%.
What do you think, Mike? We got speed.
Yeah. So who do you put? Give me names to those spots. Who do you think will be available at 55?
I think it would be more likely that we took a guard, because I think that's just how this draft falls. That's where the strength of position is that...
That's where the beef is.
Yeah. I think if we were to take an offensive lineman, it would probably be somebody who projects out as a tackle and play guard for us this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think if we do go first round, we might end up with someone like that Troy Fontanu from Washington if he falls to us, or J.C. Latham from Alabama, who's a massive, massive guy. And then there's a tackle from Georgia, too. Amarius Mims. Both guys are absolutely massive and huge, and they project out to tackles. But we could take them and play them at guard this year. And I think that would be probably the smartest pick we could make in the first round. And then, like, my dream draft would probably be to get one of those guys and then one of those defensive tackles that I mentioned in the second round. And I'm really, really taking a long look at that, my boy from Florida State that I mentioned earlier that killed it at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Chris? That would be my 1-2. So, I think we would go offense first, defense second, just because of how the strength of the draft lines up.
Yeah, definitely. And there's somebody that's been climbing up the draft boards that maybe even if we can trade up a little bit in that second round, a guy named Chop Robinson, who I was watching his workouts, and that dude's going to be a beast. From the same college Micah Parsons at, he's an edge rusher. That would be pretty cool. Darius Robinson from Missouri is another guy who's projected to go in the 40 to 50 range. He would be pretty good as well. Adisa Isaac from Penn State, another Penn State guy that's an edge rusher, is going to be available around that. So
Matt Hawk wouldn't be able to contain himself.
Oh, yeah. And then at 51, they have Jatavion Sanders, a tight end from Texas. Maybe they go tight end in the second round. I mean, who knows? I mean, the tight end room's pretty full right now. But if one of the, like I said earlier, I mean, whether it's in the first round, second round, or all the way in the fifth, I just hope that they take best player available over what they consider a need, you know,
because it feels like they take the best player available at a position of need.
Yeah, at a position of need. But I mean, there's so many holes on this team that, you know, if you can get a stud guy where you're at and upgrade that position, then, you know, I would like that, because there's too many, you know, Austin Jackson or Noah Benogany situations where it's
this can't be a project. You know,
exactly.
No reaches.
We need guys who are going to come in and contribute right away.
That's right. In order for us to catch Buffalo, we have to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't get better with a project on the bench.
Exactly. Another name that's in the 50 range is Keon Coleman, wide receiver from Florida State. I'm a huge Hurricanes fan, so I really don't like Florida State. But from what I've seen in this guy, he's good. He's a little bit bigger, too. So it gives us that alpha type receiver that we need, you know.
Yeah, he'll probably go to the Jets.
I'll give you one more name. Just so that we said it and people can come back. Laiatu Latu.
Glad you said it.
Edge rusher from UCLA. The dude is a monster, massive. And he's just like Jalen Phillips. Prototype edge rusher, build-wise, had some injury history. So that's why he looks like him. Yeah, so there you go. So he may be available in the 20s, and it's almost would be like the same exact pick as Jalen Phillips.
Yeah, I've seen some tape on him. That dude's a beast as well.
Boy, you know, the question, you know, you have is going into next year is how long is Phillips and Chubb going to be out?
Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit about it last week, but Phillips, I'm expecting to come back a lot sooner than Chubb, just based on his age and just kind of, I mean, they both seem like they're attacking it. It was funny because McDaniel actually said it in his press conference yesterday that they had to make Phillips and Chubb take a week off of rehab because they were pretty much living there. So, I mean, that's good to see that. It's kind of cool that both of them are kind of going through similar things at the same time to kind of lift each other up. And maybe, you know, I mean, McDaniel also said he didn't really want to give timelines because of kind of like what happened last year with Ramsey. You know, people were given timelines and he didn't want to really do it. And then Ramsey ended up coming back a lot sooner than a lot of us, including myself, thought that he would, you know.
Yeah, so there's really no benefit to giving a timeline.
Yeah, exactly. And he said that was another thing he said, too, is like he doesn't want guys trying to get back for a certain amount of time and in the long run end up messing them up or, you know.
So right. Get back when you're ready to get back.
Exactly.
Well, the reason I'm optimistic for Phillips is his Twitter has been very he's been very active on Twitter and he's showing some pretty impressive rehab. And we got to take this into account. It's his contract year. He's much more motivated to get back than Chubb probably is.
Yeah.
Chubb is well taken care of. Phillips has got to get out there. He's got to, if he wants to make the kind of money that he can make, he's got to get back out there.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yep. I mean, you know, it worries you because you don't want to lose the guy. But on the other hand, we really need him to excel. So it's kind of a catch-22. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to take a step back for just a couple minutes and we'll be right back.
Yeah, I got a question for you guys speaking about that. So Haaland, Phillips, and Waddle are all due for extensions at the end of next year. Who would you guys say is a priority? Who would you want to get signed locked in first?
Phillips.
Phillips. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, I think Phillips as well. It's just the premier position. And
think of the three players. He's got the highest ceiling.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'd like to see all three of them get locked up. I
think they do. I just was more curious as to who do you think that they try to get done first.
When Greer was going to let Wilkins go, when he pretty much told us the day before free agency that he was letting Wilkins go, he pretty much said, those are the three guys we have to sign. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm pretty confident all three guys will get extended. I hope they all get extended after this last offseason.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I kind of agree with you guys. I think Phillips is the biggest need. However, I don't know. I have a feeling that Waddle's deal is going to get done first for out of all three of them. I mean, Greer laughed a couple weeks ago when they asked him about the Jalen Waddle trade rumors. He was like, nah, we plan on having him for a long time. But at the same time, we've heard that before about other guys. Of course. You know? I mean, it was, for me, it was really hard to hear McDaniel talk about, because that was the first question they asked him in that press conference yesterday or the day before, was about Wilkins. And he was saying that he's basically just saying how it played out. Like they gave him an offer last year. He bet on himself, played on his fifth year option. And then pretty much that. But it was funny because he also said that the moves that they made, he didn't say which ones in particular, but, you know, he's talking about Ramsey and the Chubb moves because we made those. We weren't able, you know, he's still got to worry about the salary cap, this, that, and the third. But I can't help but feel like I would much rather have Wilkins going forward than Chubb. And I'm sure Chubb got around the same contract that Wilkins is making. So it's kind of, that's a little disheartening for me at least. But I mean, it is what it is. It's water under the bridge now. But
that's interesting because, you know, the pass rushers are more coveted than the defensive tackles.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I mean, just with the level, it seems like Wilkins has been raising his level every year and Chubb's kind of had a good year, got hurt, had another good year, got hurt. He's kind of just up and down and he's a little bit older than Wilkins, too. So it's like, that's why
I'm
going to
push back on that a little bit. I'm going to argue that Chubb was the best player on the defense last year until he got hurt.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He was really coming into his own right when that injury happened.
I said the same thing to Lewis because Lewis picks on Chubb a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I think all of them were benefiting from each other, like Wilkins having Siler next to him and then also Chubb having Phillips on the other side. I mean, they weren't really able to. But, I mean, Chubb definitely was playing at a high level. For me, it's just more so he's just battled injuries his whole career. Yep. And I always will look back to what we gave up for him and then the huge extension we gave him off the rip without even seeing him, you know, seeing how it played out for the rest of that year. I just
don't forget that Chubb, not only did he potentially cost us Wilkins, it seems like his contract did cost us Wilkins. He cost us a first round pick as well.
That's exactly why I feel the way I feel as well. It's like, I don't trash him and think he's like a terrible player. It's just what we gave up for him. And then what was available at that time, I always bring this up, but Roquan Smith went to the Ravens right after for a second round pick. And that guy in our defense, I feel like, is another guy we'd be way better off with than Chubb at this point. But I mean, that's just my opinion, but I don't know how you guys feel about that. And they gave up less, you know, which kind of doesn't make sense, but
I hate losing anybody, to be honest with you. You know, you watch these guys come in and you kind of sit through their growing pains a little bit. And then by the time they really start to put it together, they leave.
Mm-hmm.
It's very depressing.
Yeah. Another thing that was kind of funny about that press conference, too, with McDaniel was when they asked him if he was rebuilding or not. Because it kind of pertained to the question, if you guys aren't rebuilding, why didn't you just franchise tag Wilkins and pay him, you know, the $23 million for this year?
Well, which, they had to pay that off the top, though.
No, exactly, which I agree with. But at the same time, with how much money they moved around, it's like, man, I just wish they could have made that happen somehow, you know. But
all right, so here's the argument against the franchise tag. Because the Chiefs did it. The Chiefs franchise tag L'Jarius Sneed. And they had $20 million tied up in the first 2 weeks of free agency. And all they got back for Sneed, even though he's a much better player than that, all they got back was a third-round pick. The rest of the league called Kansas City's bluff. And they gave him basically what they would get for a compensatory pick. Because the Dolphins didn't franchise Wilkins, that freed up a ton of money to sign basically all those guys that they signed in the first 2 weeks of free agency.
Exactly.
So if they did franchise Wilkins, I mean, we're talking about missing out on 10 players probably. So, and they're going to get the same third round pick that the Chiefs got as a compensatory pick. So, I mean, I get it. I get why they didn't do it. They just couldn't tie up the money. It is what it is. It sucks. I hate seeing him go. I love the player, love the guy, but
that's what I'm saying. From the fans' perspective, it just kills me.
Yeah,
it kills. Didn't you get a Wilkins jersey last year?
Yep, I got it at this point last year when Greer was saying all the things that he's saying about Waddle, Phillips, and Holland.
That's actually funny because I'm not gonna lie. I have Waddle jersey, I have a Hill jersey, I have a Tua jersey. I was like, I need a defensive jersey, and Wilkins was going to be that guy this year, and then boom, he's gone.
Well, don't get hung, just be safe.
Mike told me to get
Phillips, and I regret not doing
it. Yeah, it would probably be Phillips, or if they end up locking up Holland, you know, I'd take that.
So they came up with a bunch of rules today.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think of the kickoff rule?
You want to go first, Matt?
All right, yeah. I mean, I kind of love it. What was the kickoff before this? 98% of the time, it goes through the back of the end zone, and it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of love it. I think this is going to increase the amount of kickoff returns that we see, and it adds a whole new layer of strategy to the game. I was reading kind of all about it today. And they said this is going to revamp what the bottom ends of rosters look like. Teams are going to want to have more fifth tight ends, fullbacks, guys who can block fast and move and create holes and be able to pull. And you're probably going to be seeing a lot of running backs being kick returners now because they have to make quick decisions and they have to be able to hit holes. This adds a whole new value to the running back position. I love it. I think in 2 years, we're going to be seeing some special teams doing some really, really interesting things with it. And I love anything that brings a whole new strategy to the game. I'm perfectly fine with it. I'm okay with it. I'm not this like crazy traditionalist that hates to see any change to the game.
Well, I am a traditionalist, but they already screwed up the kickoffs.
I knew that was coming.
Okay, so since they already screwed them up, they had to fix them. And this is, I guess, the best fix they can come up with. So I'm all for it.
For sure. And I'll give you a perfect example of what Matt was just talking about. So A couple hours after that rule got announced, the Pittsburgh Steelers signed Cordell Patterson when they already have Jalen Warren, who's a stud, and Najee Harris. So, I mean, that just like he said, you're going to start to see different guys just gaining value. You know, a guy like Cordell Patterson, who's kind of on the tail end of his career, he's always been a great returner. So they saw that and they were like, all right, well,
all right, he can Chris, definitely here's a question
add a,
for you.
Add a dimension. Yep.
It's week one. You got to put two returners back there. Who are you putting?
I would say Achan.
Oh, there he is.
And I really would love to say Tyreek Hill or Waddle, but I just don't want to risk them. But I'll get back to this answer. One thing I was going to say about this new rule is I really didn't like it at first because I'm like you said, Mike, it's like they already fucked it up. But then after watching a couple. Like, or where is it? The arena, the XFL that they got XFL this rule from. After seeing a couple of those videos, I'm just like, well, this is definitely going to benefit teams that have a lot of speed. And, you know, who is speed more than we are? In the words of Lightning McQueen, you know, but I think that's going to benefit us a lot greatly. It doesn't matter who's back there with all the track stars we got. I mean, you could even throw Mostert back there. You know, I mean, it's going to be awesome. And to answer your question, Mike, I mean, you can give me any two of the five guys I just named, and I think it's better than most of the league has. So hopefully that adds a really, really dope dynamic for our team because, man, as special teams, other than Sanders, the last couple of years really let us down for the most part, you know?
Yeah. Who have you got, Matt?
Everyone on Twitter is saying this is made for Devon Achane. Mm-hmm. Like, he is going to light this up. And I'm excited for it.
What about you, Mike?
Achane back there, yeah.
Well, you got to have two back there, right?
Yeah.
So, Achane and who else?
Ahmed?
Mm.
Just trying to think of the running back room. Ahmed? He's a little shifty.
That's interesting.
He's not very fast.
Maybe you see us bring another guy in for that specific type of thing. Because, I mean, I think Berrios can be good, but he's like... If the speed is what's really going to kill you, he's not the fastest guy, you know? So, I mean, I don't know.
I feel like we'll broken see. Tackles is going to be valuable in this. And like, you're not going to see like smaller wide receivers breaking tackles and stuff like that. I think it's going to be all running backs back there.
Yeah.
Depends. What are you looking for? Power or speed? You know, it's just a matter of what you think is going to benefit you more.
And who knows, maybe if you need a big return at the end of the game or something, you see them situationally bring Tyreek or Waddle in there. You know, I mean, Waddle was a great, both of them were great returners in college.
Yeah, but do you want to risk them? That's the catch 22, you know?
You got to risk it for the biscuit, Mikey, you know?
So they say. Yeah, ask me, and I would definitely have Achane back there. And, the next guy is a little tougher, but I might gamble. I mean, if it's, you know, if we're losing, I think I would put Hill back there.
Yep.
Teams would cry if they saw him back there.
You know, those two back there is you know, a lot of speed there. So, you know, I kind of like that. But, you know, if we see that power is more effective, then, you know, we really don't have many power backs that are fast, other than Mostert. So, you know, he's the closest we got. So,
and you know what? It's going to have to take a really good kicker to out-kick. You're going to have to kick to these guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're not going to go out the back of the end zone every single time. So, it's going to be an important phase of the game.
Well, you know, if we start returning, you know, kickoffs for touchdowns, then they probably will kick it out of the end zone just to keep it out of their hands. But, you know, the penalty is, I guess,
or start kicking it out of bounds.
It gets moved up to the 40, is that it?
Yeah, I think something like that.
Yeah, so it's either the 30 or the 40, but I think it's the 40.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, that should be interesting. And the hip drop tackles.
Yeah, I wanted to get your perspective on that, Mike. I know you don't like that, huh?
Actually, no, I don't like the tackle because it, you know, you're landing on the player's legs most times and, you know, they're getting hurt at a clip of something like 25%, you know, and the tackle has become more popular year over year by 65%. So,
that's interesting.
You know, what you're seeing is you're seeing it a lot more, and that's the reason they really have to do something. If it was just once in a blue moon, it wouldn't be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But you are seeing guys get their knees hurt, their ankles hurt, and you know, you want your offensive guys on the field, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Because I think it was Waddle that got hurt by one also.
Tyreek as
hurt.
Well.
Yeah, was Hill got hurt in the Tennessee game, and his season wasn't the same after that. He was completely different after that.
Yep. So, I mean, that's the effects of it. You know, it's bad. So, you know, we don't want guys to get hurt unnecessarily, and that to me is unnecessary. You know, that's all right.
I definitely agree. My only drawback on it is, I mean, there's so many rules for tackling now. I mean, I don't think that defensive guys are purposely trying to do the hip drop tackle, but I mean, if you hit them too high, it's a penalty. And then if you, I don't think there's a penalty for hitting too low, but you know, I think guys try to avoid going low because they don't want to mess up guys' knees. So, I mean, from the defensive perspective, it's just getting really hard for them to play. I mean, Javon Holland commented, I forgot what he said. He said something pretty
funny. Yeah, they were all crying about it. All the defenders were crying about it. Nah,
but I mean, you got to understand from the perspective of, it seems like rules keep getting changed to help the offensive players and not so much, even though
it's my logic, okay? It's the same for both teams.
Yeah.
Right? The rules are the same for both teams. So with that being the case, scoring's going to go up.
Yeah.
Okay? Because not as many tackles are going to be made. Mm-hmm. So the scoring's going to go up. Is that a bad thing? Just depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I get it from both perspectives. You know, I mean, I can't be mad at it just because of how many guys. And it seems like it's like even though Tyreek and Waddle both got hurt on those, it seems like it's more crucial for the taller guys. Like we saw Mark Andrews go down for the season after a hip drop tackle. And I mean, it's even smaller guys. I remember a couple years ago, Tony Pollard ended his season. So, I mean, we've seen the game evolutionize, and it's just crazy to see, you know. I mean, guys, and it's even funny, like JJ Watt said, you know, let's just fast forward to the part where guys are just wearing the flags with the belts on. And it's like, I mean, but
suck it up, big fella.
Yeah, and ultimately they're doing it for the safety of the game. Like, I kind of like the way they're calling penalties a lot more for the hits to the helmet and stuff, you know, because that's important. You know, you want to see these guys live long after their careers and stuff and not have to deal with the CTE and all that stuff, you know.
You know, I fell in love with football in the 70s, the very early 70s. And, you know, I've seen the game really evolve into what it is today. Mm-hmm. Is it better? Is it worse? Well, that depends on who you ask.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? If I ask Matt, he's going to say football's great today.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what he knows. He's watched, you know, how many years of football, Matt, have you watched?
I've been watching for 30 years now,
30? Yeah. Okay, so 30 years ago, you know, we were in the 90s, and the game was not significantly totally different than it is now.
No, I would say it was a totally different game. We don't have the 30 carry running backs anymore. That was the 90s. 90s football was Emmitt Smith, Thurman Thomas, Barry Sanders, those type of guys.
Yeah, but it was also Andre Reed. And
that's long gone. Yep.
You know, the guy in Dallas, Mike Irvin.
Yeah.
Right?
That was a little bit before my time, but I've definitely seen enough highlights, you know.
Rodney Harrison.
Offense is probably more balanced then. I would agree with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. We're going to break for a few moments, and we'll be right back.
It was a little bit of a different game, but, you know, I expect defenses to adjust to the rule. I'm a little skeptical from the refereeing standpoint, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm not skeptical of referees.
But that's going to be a hard thing to call. They have to decide when the defender's going to unweight themselves and, take a guy down. I'm just seeing a lot of sketchy moments coming from this rule where, like, there's going to be a hip drop and it's not a hip drop.
The key word is swivel. Okay. Mm-hmm. When they defined it, the key word that they used was swivel. And if the defender swivels and lands on the runner's legs, that's going to be a penalty.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, but if you're running him down from behind and you wrap your arms around him and slide down, that's not going to be a penalty.
Okay. All right. I can live with that. You got to give the smaller guys a little bit of a chance. The smaller guys, that's basically how they tackle. So they got to be able to drag guys down by their hips and their legs and...
Well, yeah, you can do that. They just don't want you landing on their legs, which is what the hip drop is all about.
Yeah.
Oh, and like taking their feet, ankles and legs out from underneath them? And like, that's how you get them down. Were they teaching that, do you think? Were they teaching the guys to do that?
I don't know. And that's what I was kind of saying. I mean, I feel like in the heat of the moment, when you're running at a certain speed and the running back's running at a certain speed and angle, I feel like sometimes that it just happens. You know, it's like not guys intentionally trying to do that. It's just more so they're not. Yeah, but
we're talking about intentional, you know, tackles. It's definitely intentional.
Yeah, overall, I mean, I just hope the officiating gets better in general.
And the way you can tell it's intentional is because the defender is dropping his weight to the ground.
Okay.
Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm. He's making a conscious decision to do himself. It.
Right.
He's not just trying to tackle a guy. He's like trying to take his legs out with his head.
Right. Okay. Exactly. I think it's a good change. I'm all for it. I know a lot of people are against it, and I get it. You know, we don't want, you know, people wearing skirts out there. But, you know, you've got to keep the player somewhat safe, right? Because this, like I said, it was 65% more prevalent this year than it was the year before.
Yeah.
So that's a big number.
It definitely is.
It'll still be a physical game. Nobody's got to worry. There's going to be guys getting hit and getting hurt. It's going to happen.
Hopefully nobody too seriously. You know, we want all our guys healthy. We want all the other guys healthy. And we want to see the best football we can see. And the way you get that is by having people on the field. You know, you want to see Josh Allen against our defense, maybe with one eye closed, but you want to see it. You want them to be the best version of themselves. So when you beat them, you know you've earned it.
And you want to beat the best. To be the best, you got to beat the best.
That's right. So, you know, I'm all for it. I got no complaints. There wasn't much else that I can think of that was too newsworthy, other than they're going to play on Christmas Day, which is a Wednesday.
Yeah, that's after seeing that, how that Tua situation unveiled, I'm not for the Thursday night games anymore. You know, it's not even just him. It's like, every time I feel like I'm watching a Thursday night game, it's just not really good quality football, you know? The players hate them having to recover, you know? I mean, I know they get a little bit more time after that for the next week, but, you know, I'm not a fan of it. But
we didn't have any Thursday games last year. That was nice.
Yeah, exactly. They gave us a break on that.
I got one last question for you guys. It was kind of sneaky important news this week that we're going to talk about. Mike McDaniel said he considered giving up play calling this year. What do you guys think about that? What's your opinion on the subject?
Massaging the press.
I'll let you go first, Mike, on that.
That's it. He's massaging. Look.
Where did our
offense rank the last 2 years?
Yeah. I have no.
Why is this even an issue?
No argument. First,
that's what I'm saying.
I think his situational play calling can definitely be better.
He can improve, but sure,
it's for sure.
He can improve, but you know, when you're first or second or sixth in the league, whatever they were the last 2 years, that's kind of an argument in your favor. You know, if he wants to call plays, I wouldn't mess with him. You know, he knows where he needs to get better, and he will.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he definitely improved from the first year to last year, too, which is definitely something we wanted to see. But like I said, certain situational, I mean, goddamn, if we don't have a 6'5 receiver, stop throwing the fade at the 3-yard line, you know what I mean?
Please.
And not only that, pound the rock, man. Certain times, especially when it's working, pound the rock.
Well,
he
got a center
rock.
Who's a good run blocker, so maybe that'll happen.
Yeah.
The rest of the league is converting fourth down at like an 80% clip, and we are failing miserably at fourth down. Mike, figure out fourth down, for God's sakes.
Give me a Lasaka Polite, and I got it covered.
I mean, Alec Ingold's a pretty damn good back, a fullback himself. I mean, we have a guy, you know?
I don't know that he has the burst to be overly effective.
Yeah, but he's a shorter guy. I mean, he can get low and get those 1 or 2
yards.
Oh, yeah,
he can
burrow,
if they make room for him. But, you know, if it's a stalemate, he's not getting through. That's all I'm trying to say.
Another thing we didn't talk about that happened actually right after we recorded our podcast last week was OBJ came in for a visit. And not only did he come in for a visit, According to McDaniel, we offered him a contract. What I personally don't feel good paying him more than $5 million. What would you guys say that his range is? Would you even
5 to 7, somewhere around there?
Or would you guys even like to see him in a Dolphins uniform? I guess that's a...
My opinion on him is if he wants to come play for nothing, come on over to Miami, but I'm not taking out a significant portion of the cap for him.
Agreed.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, it wouldn't overly excite me if they sign him, mm-hmm. But he could probably help us, at least somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a third option, he'd be great. I mean, I'm kind of fired up about how much
has he got left? That's the question, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely not the Odell Beckham from the Giants or even the Odell Beckham from the Cleveland Browns. But, I mean, what he's done, I mean, he had a decent season last year and he took off the year before. But when he made that Super Bowl run with the Rams, I mean, he was killing it. I mean, he's, you know, I mean, I know the ACL is definitely something to worry about. But, I mean, I know he missed a couple games last year, but I think he was just a little banged up. I don't think it was anything serious. So, I mean, as a third option, if we can get him for $5 million or even cheaper than that, I mean.
I don't think he'll get him for cheaper than that.
I'd
be surprised if they did, because obviously, you know, he's waiting for other offers, I'm sure.
Yep.
Otherwise, he'd be signed.
Yep. I'm curious to see what his market is, but he's definitely not getting no $15 million like he did last year.
I don't think so. Not from us, anyway.
Yeah.
No, we ain't got it.
Right, exactly. Anything else you guys want to discuss?
I got one question for Matt, because I don't think we've talked to him since since we signed all of our guys. Who's your favorite free agent acquisition that we've made?
I got to go with Kendall Fuller. I mean, I love value signings. This guy... He was ranked top 10 by PFF the last 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. He was predicted to get a 3-year, 30-some-odd million-dollar contract, and he came to us for what, like 1 year, $8 million, something like that? I can't get over why. It doesn't make any sense in my mind why he came to Miami for that kind of money. And I'm glad he's there. I know he's a little bit up there in years and he's older, but he's been playing well the last couple of years. He doesn't miss any games. His technique is sound. He gave up a few touchdowns last year, but that Washington defense was pitiful by the end of the year with no pass rush. So I don't know if you can hold... They traded all their pass rushers. So I don't know if you can totally put that on him. I think he's a nice replacement for X. I'm really excited about the secondary. I'm really excited about Poyer. I was really excited about the secondary last year and they were terrible. Fuller's my favorite signing. I did like a bunch of them. I like a bunch of the signings. I like Brewer. They always look good in March. Yeah. But at least they're cheap this time around. We didn't break the bank for any of these guys.
Yeah.
I think Jordan Brooks could be pretty good. I hope he's pretty good. It's a lot of guys that, you know, you're not 100% sure if they're going to be good or they could be terrible, but at least we're not killing the cap with any of these guys that we signed, which is nice.
I'd agree. I mean, Fuller, I think at this point in his career and X's career, he's an upgrade. And like we said last week, I mean, we're getting him at more than half the cost of what we would be paying Howard this year. So to me, that's 100% a win. I mean, that was a great, great signing.
The question is, will he be as effective as Howard was? And Howard did not have a great year, but will he be able to be that effective or better?
Yeah. I mean, like Matt said, I mean, the last 2 years he's been grading out as a top 10 corner. And when you got a guy who can play in the slot too, and he said he even played some safety. I mean, when you got guys like him and Ramsey that you can just move around, I mean, I really hope Anthony Weaver uses these guys to his full potential. Like he talked about in his opening press conference that he wants to use guys in different positions and, you know, really give a different type of defense than we saw last year. Last year was very vanilla, plain, you know, how we lined up is what we were doing for the most part. There wasn't really too much surprise, you know.
Like them blitzes, don't you?
Love them.
I can tell, because every time you talk, you bring it up.
But I loved what he said. I mean, he said all of our blitzes, we're going to be aggressive, but it's all going to be calculated, which is...
That's exactly the way you blitz.
Exactly, which I agree with 1,000%, so... I don't know, fellas. I'm fired up. We're getting closer.
We're getting closer, right?
Yeah, draft time.
Still a ways to go, though.
Be training camp before you know it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, you have that. You have the mini camp right after the draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got voluntary workouts coming up pretty soon.
Yep.
Yep.
So anyway, all right. So that'll be it for today. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Yeah,
thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week. And I believe we've got a guest on next week. We'll have to confirm that, but we'll talk to you about that then.
Mm-hmm.
Till then, fins up, everybody.
Fins up.
Take it easy. Fins up.
All right, Fin fans, that's today's show. I want to thank the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network and the Sports Social podcast network. Check out these sites, guys. They've got articles and podcasts, which I think you'll enjoy. All right, until next week, be well and take care.
Podcast Network.